Well, I'm talking with you about the shared convictions of global Anabaptists. Started that last week. Last week, we talked about how God is the creator and the sustainer of life. He's always worked through particular people to restore fallen humanity, and he now calls the church to be faithful in fellowship, worship, service, and witness. I read this week a report from the Daily Mail. This was the report. When I woke up, this is in quotes, "When I woke up, I was a baby and you named me Luke." It's a quote from a 5-year-old boy. Mom claims that her 5-year-old son remembers his past life as a Chicago woman who died in a house fire. His mother says that he has told her details that he could only know if this were true. So he says, "I've been reincarnated from this woman who died in 1993, I think it was, in a fire in Chicago." Do you believe this? That this little boy was reincarnated? Some years ago, a teenage girl pregnant out of wedlock reported that her child was from God and would be the son of God. She said that she had been visited by an angel that told her this news. The angel had given her the name for her child. Do you believe this story? His name is Jesus, which means God helps or God saves. He's also called Christ, which refers to the Messiah, the title for the anointed of God. Jesus most often referred to himself as the Son of Man. In Luke 19:10, he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." We read in the Bible of Jesus' joys and his sorrows, his physical necessities. He needed rest, he needed food, his temptations, his search for God's presence. He would go off on his own to pray, to talk to God. He was entirely human. Hebrews 2:17 says he was made like us in every way. So why do we believe this story? The life of Jesus is recorded in the Bible. The evidence of his life backs up his claim to be the Son of God. The Spirit came visibly upon Jesus at his baptism. People saw the Spirit descending on him. He performed miracles and healings. He even raised the dead. His teaching was wise. It was given with authority. He himself rose from the dead. His disciples were convinced of who he was, that he is the Son of God. When things became difficult and people began to depart from following Jesus, Jesus asked his disciples, he said, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when Jesus offered to them that they too could depart from following just as others were doing, this was their reply: "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Christian community claims that Jesus is an extraordinary and unique person. He was 100% God and 100% human. In his divinity, he shows us the heart and the character of God. And in his humanity, he shows us the human character that God intends to restore in us. In Christ, God becomes human so that we can know God. Remember last week I mentioned how amazing it is that God would make himself known to us. That's what he does in Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." And in John 14, 9, he says, whoever sees me sees the Father. So why do we believe this account and not others, like the young boy that claims to be reincarnated, or at least his mother claims that? Jesus backs up his claim to be the Son of God by his miracles, by his love and his compassion, with his wise teaching, and ultimately by his power over death, as seen in the resurrection. All of that's recorded in the Bible. By those, who's it recorded by? By those who walked with Jesus, who were convinced to the point that they dedicated their lives to following Christ and to telling others the good news about him. There's no real reason to question the historic accuracy of the Bible. There are many ancient books that we accept as they were truly written by somebody at some time. They weren't fabrications. There's much more attestation to the accuracy of the Bible than to many of those books and writings. We have many manuscripts that attest to it. If you question that, I'd encourage you to do the research and find out. Just last night, Lou Ann and I watched a documentary. It's one that you guys can watch if you'd like to. It's on Right Now Media by Mark DeHaan. It looks at the manuscript evidence of the New Testament. It's actually about a project where they're going around and photographing every manuscript around the world that we have, every ancient manuscript from before the time of the printing press of the Bible, so that it's sure to be available for biblical scholars. I find it fascinating when I look at those kinds of things and I see that this book is reliable. It's not just something where somebody says, oh, I got this message from an angel and I simply have to trust that they got it from an angel. It's authentic and it's reliable. It's written by people, the New Testament, the Gospels, written by people who walked with Jesus. They reported what they saw and what they experienced with him. But beyond this, beyond those facts, for those of us who have come to see our own sinfulness and have put our trust in Christ, receiving forgiveness, dedicating ourselves to follow him, we now know what the disciples meant when they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Even when I wonder, where's God in my life and in the circumstances that I'm experiencing? Those words still resonate with me. My experience with Jesus tells me, where else do I go? Even if sometimes I have that thought, what if this is all not for real? Yet my experience with Christ is such that, where else would I go? What else is there? I found life in Christ. Where else would we go? If you don't know Jesus, I'd call on you to investigate who he is and what he teaches, opening your heart to him. And I believe that you'll come to know him as Savior and Lord if you honestly do that. You can do that by spending time with God's people, by spending time reading the Bible, especially the Gospels. The important thing is that we're open to him, that we're open to God revealing himself to us. We have to be able to admit that we're looking for something more. There's something else to life that we're missing. Sometimes that's called a holy discontent. It's not a discontentment where we're ungrateful, but it's a kind of discontentment where there's something else, and it can happen to you even after you're following Christ. There's something more that I'm missing. And it causes us to be open to God. To be open for God to give him more of himself. It's the kind of openness that we must have. The conviction that we're looking at this morning says, through his life and teachings, Jesus is the Son of God. Through his life and teachings, his cross and resurrection, he showed us how to be faithful disciples, redeemed the world, and offers eternal life. So you can be sure that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's what I encourage you this morning. If you're not sure about that, investigate and open yourself up for God to reveal that to you, to make that known to you. Now in John 14, the disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They've gone where he's gone. They've listened to his teaching. They've been in conversation with him. And now in John 14, Jesus tells them, I'm going away. And you can't follow me right now. You can understand how this is confusing to them and frustrating, since they really don't understand where he's going. But Jesus assures them that they know the way to come after him. Thomas expresses his frustration. He doesn't even know where Jesus is going. How am I supposed to know the way? He wants to know. Luann's mother has told us about how her mother left her and her brother several times when they were children. She left them in an orphanage once, left them with relatives at one point. You can imagine the frustration, the upset that they would have had as children when their mother left and said, you cannot come with me, you'll have to stay here. Now, Luann wanted me to make clear that there's no parallel here between what her grandmother did and what Jesus did. But I think there's a parallel with what the children would have felt, with what Luann's mom and her brother would have felt, and what the disciples are feeling here. What do you mean we can't come with? We always go with you. How are we to know how to find you? That's their question. That was Thomas's question. And Jesus answers them. This was Jesus' answer in John 14, 6. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So first, Jesus is letting them know, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to God. And he's telling them how they too will come to God, how they too will be able to connect with God. And he doesn't say, I'll lead the way. He doesn't say, I'll tell you the way. He doesn't say, I'll give you the directions for the way. He doesn't even say, use your GPS for Pete's sake. He says, I am the way. It is in Christ that we return to God, to the one that we've been cut off from by our sin and our rebellion. Jesus says, if you know me intimately, then you know the way. It's like having the directions internally. It's like when some people are going to a new place and they're trying to figure out how to get there and they don't quite understand the directions, but you've been there numerous times. And you say, follow me, I know the way. You don't have to look at a map, you don't have to do any, it's internalized in you. You've been there many times, you know how to get there. You know the way. Jesus says, I am the way. So Jesus is your model. Jesus is your model. Everything about Jesus, how he lived, what he taught, even his death, his resurrection, are a model for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins, but he also modeled how we live. The cross wasn't just for Jesus, it's also for us. That's why he says, take up your cross and follow me. We're to lay down our lives for others, just like he laid down his life for us. It's really what Don was talking about this morning. As he was praying, Jesus was helping him to lay down his life for those students in Kenya, to lay down the things of his life. God asks us to do that all the time, not just Don, but every one of us, to lay down. That's the way Jesus lived. That's the way he calls us to live. He models it for us. Jesus shows us how to relate to God, the Father. He shows us and he taught us how to pray. He showed that we have access to God. We can talk with him like a father. We can bring him our needs and expect that he listens and that he answers. Just as Jesus said that he does only what the Father does and speaks only what the Father speaks, he shows us that we're to be in complete submission to God. That's how we relate to God, doing what he says, bowing our hearts before him, trusting that he is ultimately good and he cares for our well-being. It's what Jesus models for us. When Jesus says, "You already know the way," he's telling the disciples, "You already know me, and that's enough. Just keep following me. You model my life just like good disciples do, and you'll come to God, where I'm going." Jesus said, "I am the way." He said, "I am the truth." Jesus teaches us a new orientation to life. He changes the way we see things. As Jesus lived his life before his disciples, he was constantly teaching them. He was telling them stories. He was giving them images. He answered their questions. Sometimes he asked them questions that revealed things about themselves. Jesus said he was the good shepherd. He said, "I'm your friend. You're my friends." He said the kingdom is like a mustard seed or like a pearl of great price. Jesus embodies and teaches the truth about all things. So we pay attention to what Jesus teaches. Matthew 7, 28 and 29 tells us when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as a teacher of the law. He says, "I am the truth." How does Jesus reorient us? He changes the way that we understand things. This world doesn't give us the truth all the time. Jesus does. He reverses our values. In the Beatitudes, he calls blessed those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are merciful, those whose hearts are pure, those who make peace, even those who are persecuted. That's a reverse of values. Those people are blessed. That's not what our world tells us. It's really upside down from the values of our world. He tells us to love our enemies, not just our friends. He tells us to forgive. Don't hold a grudge. He tells us to store our treasures in heaven. Don't store up earthly treasures. Seek to be the servant, not the boss. Don't worry and run anxiously after what you need, but trust God to provide. Our world says this is nonsense. But Jesus says this is the truth. And when we hold these values, we find ourselves coming to God, the Father. Jesus taught us we're always to follow the way of love. Our love for God is to be complete. We cannot love God and money or things, he told us. He says our way of relating to people is to be with love. And I think Paul summarizes it best in Romans, what Jesus' life and his teachings taught us about love. In Romans 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. That's love for God, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We're always to follow the way of love. That's what Jesus teaches. That's the truth. Jesus also reoriented us in telling us to prepare for the future. Everything in our world says, I should get what I want now. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow I might die. And we could say that I will sometime, tomorrow. Jesus teaches us to prepare for the future. We're not living just for now. Spend your life on things that will matter forever. In Matthew, Jesus says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the story of the sheep and the goats, explaining that in the future there will be a judgment in which we're held responsible for how we've lived our lives, based on whether we've cared for the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, the prisoner, the stranger. Paul echoes this in 2 Corinthians 5:10 when he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So he reorients us to something future, not just to today. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Jesus gives us life. Jesus is the life. It's because he redeems us and he offers eternal life that we're able to follow him, even in our imperfection. Jesus gave his life on the cross so that we would be redeemed from death, from sin, and so that we could have eternal life. Paul summarizes this freedom from the rule and the consequences of sin in our lives. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says it's because he died for us that we don't have to suffer the wages of sin, which is death. He gives us life, eternal life. I'm thankful that my life is not dependent on my ability to live up to God's standard. I wouldn't make it. My life is dependent on God's grace found in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation now. Still imperfect, but I'm experiencing the redemption that Jesus Christ brings. I know that just as Jesus was raised from the grave, so one day I'll be fully restored along with all of creation. I'll be fully what God wanted me to be, the way God created me. He gives me life. And that eternal life begins now. It's not like we will have eternal life. This is the way Jesus said it in John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. That life begins now. I now belong to God's kingdom. Death has been overcome. I don't need to fear death. You don't need to fear death. The Holy Spirit has come, and He's changed me from within. I am free forever from sin and condemnation. Nothing can ever separate me from God's love, because Jesus is the life. You can be sure. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is your model for life. He is the way. He is the truth. He teaches us a new orientation. He reverses our values. He calls us to follow always the way of love. He tells us, prepare for the future. Be ready. And He gives us life. He gives us eternal life that begins now. I encourage you this morning, if you don't know that Jesus is the Son of God, if you don't know that He is your Lord and Savior, spend time with God's people. Spend time reading the Word. Open yourself to God revealing Himself to you. You can know who He is. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. I'd like to ask you to stand this morning and ask the worship team to come up. This morning I encourage you to find your way in Him, in Christ. To remember who He is, to dedicate yourself fully to Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You sent Jesus to live among us as Your Son. Father, we know who You are because we know Jesus. I thank You that You have saved for us in the Bible the story of Jesus' life and all that He taught. Thank You. Lord, I thank You that You have kept for us this history of Your people and of Your interaction with us and of Your plan to bring us salvation, to redeem us, to give us life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm grateful. Thank You. Thank You for revealing Yourself. Lord, I ask that You would reveal Yourself fully to each one here this morning. And Father, if in some way we have not been faithfully following You, then Lord, I ask that You would speak to us, that You would help us to know in our hearts that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we will find life in Him, and that we will find life in following Christ. And in those places, Lord, where we're tempted not to follow, remind us, Lord, that there is no other place that we can find life but in Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.